baby.
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Cheddar Pop.
Movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It does sound familiar.
It's hilarious. Hello! I think we did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Cullen.
Oh, you bite your tongue if this is not hold up.
Cream corn tonight.
Cream corn tonight.
That should be good corn time. It's a movie. Just wait for the big giveaway at 9.
Happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you.
How's the world treating you, Seth?
Not too bad. We have a nice 72 degrees in Omaha right now, so can't complain. Mm-hmm. We'll see how long that lasts.
I'm going to tell you the temperature here because I think we're both at 72. Oh.
Is LA always at 72?
Omaha's beating us. We are at 68 right today.
Ooh.
So you know there's only been 5 days in the last 6 months where we've been over 70 degrees? 5 or 6 days, something like
that. That's kind of
crazy. It's been cold for 6 months.
Yeah. Earthquakes. Climate. You guys got it all going on in California.
But climate change isn't real.
Nothing is real.
I saw a snowball.
Well, you're listening to the podcast. Well, Set Jetter Saturdays with the king himself, Robert Patterson. Check out his website at setjetter.com. We've got a really cool show tonight. We're going to kick off with a little thing. I have a crumb shout out here. I wanted to shout out my mother.
Oh.
Our biggest fan. Mom the Crumb, I love you. Thank you for listening to the show. She does listen to the show, and I said, I'm going to say hi to you in the next show. So here's my hello.
Hello, Mom. No. And my dad is an avid listener. So.
Oh, Bob himself, Mr. P, thank you for listening, too. you both can tune out now, because now we're going to get into the really dirty, inappropriate stuff.
Dirty swear words.
Exactly. But before we get into what you've been watching, Robert, I wanted to do a quick recap of a segment we do, Police Uniforms and Movies. As you know, I'm very, I can't really organize my own life, but I can tell you the accuracy of a police uniform in a film. So, basically I'm going to give a good one, a bad one, you know, example of each. And today we're going to tap into Friday the 13th, parts 1 and 2, gotcha. And 3. So, oof. Yeah.
It's a wide gamut there.
It's pretty ridiculous. It's pretty ridiculous. So I'm going to just start with Friday the 13th, part 1. Do you remember the motorcycle?
Yes, motorcycle cop Ron. I think his real name is, maybe his life in real life is Ron. He's been doing conventions, so yeah. What's your take on his? I question his motorcycle. Doesn't quite seem like a police cycle, but go ahead.
That's it. You nailed it. See, yeah. Robert, someone that isn't as ridiculous as I am can pick that out. His motorcycle is basically a standard Harley Davidson in use by some police departments for sure. But there's really no lighting. There's no the only thing that would identify it as a police vehicle is the boxed, you know, stick and tape police lettering. You know what I'm talking about? Like the kind that you put on
mailbox.
Boxes?
Yeah, mailbox yeah. lettering.
But the mailbox lettering.
This is Crystal Lake Police. That's all that, you know, they could afford. One right, cop. Of course. You know.
Of course. That's the budget was low in Crystal Lake. But obviously we know why they did it. It's the motorcycle they had on set that they could get, and that was the cheapest way than renting one. But it still kind of sticks out a little bit.
But what about his uniform?
The uniform itself is okay.
Okay.
Badge is on the right side. Does have proper jacket, pants, shirt material. My only criticism of the uniform would be there usually would be something on his right sleeve to identify the police department that he's with, whether it's a marking or his rank. But it's not terrible. It could pass for 1980s, you know, Crystal Lake.
Well, I was going to say it's the 1980. They probably shot it in 79, you know. This is probably as good as it got.
Exactly. It's as good as it got, and I'm going to give him a pass on the uniform. But the motorcycle, I'm just not buying it. It's not good at all.
We ain't going to stand for no weirdness around here.
We ain't going to stand for no weirdness around here. Does he take his glasses off in the scene, or do they stay on?
I don't remember. For some reason, I think they take it off, because he's doing very kind of cop movements and
the
kids, and I put him in quotes, are kind of mocking him, and like, I think Kevin Bacon is mimicking him, and if I remember.
Yeah, he does. He is mimicking. Yep. And that's, by the way, Kevin Bacon's finest role. Most would agree.
That and Footloose, I don't know.
And then, yeah, side by side. And just to tag on to the bad portion of police uniforms in film, this is the example that kicked off this segment. Friday the 13th, Part 2, The Cop. Okay, so this gentleman just gets everything wrong. He's supposed to be a state trooper, state police. So New Jersey State Police are kind of they set the bar for state police departments. They're the most notorious. They always have the hat on, you know, like the trooper hat. They're very professional. But this guy's wearing blue jeans.
And so hard to run in. So hard to run in jeans.
So hard to run in jeans. He's got blue jeans. Little out of shape for a trooper. They don't just take anyone, you know. It is the state police. So that you kind of have to be in shape. He's got his badge on the right side. There's no markings. It's even for a low. They had more money in the second one for the budget. Yep. I feel like this is unforgivable. They should have had somebody better.
A little something. So.
Not knocking the actor himself. I'm talking about the uniform. They could have had something could have been done better.
Well, maybe it was his day off. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. Could have been it. But the jeans, not buying it. And a good example, Friday the 13th, Part 3, got it right. There are uniformed deputies at the scene after Harold and Edna's. And at the end, they're all perfect uniforms. They all match. They're all supposed to be, not supposed to be, but they're L.A. County Sheriff's uniforms that they did on set because, you know, they filmed L.A. County and they made it right. So they got it right with the third one.
And it is the next day. You know, so Deputy Winslow was kind of, but maybe it was the next county over, like they crossed the county line, perhaps.
Right. Things get better as soon as they cross the county.
Yeah, they got into the rich county. What is it in Pawnee versus, you know, the alternate in Parks and Rec, you know?
Yeah, as soon as they cross over there, that's it. It's completely a game changer.
Yeah. So obviously, and they had more than one, you know, they had multiple cops and multiple cars show up in Part 3, so.
They did.
Messing around, yeah.
And you have some great screenshots on setjitter.com of that with your locations that you put.
Oh, yeah. I noticed more people have been posting because that Harold and Edna's was used in a deleted scene from The Terminator. And for some reason, the past month, there's a lot of people kind of posting about it. So, and if Brian's listening, I know somebody was kind of giving me crap that it wasn't the location for sure.
I do remember you bringing that up at some point.
I'm pretty sure it is, so.
And I'm pretty sure Robert knows what he's talking about.
Not 99% of the time, I'd like to think so. But
anyway. Oh yeah, no, you do your due diligence. And finally, just to cap off this segment, there is a Friday the 13th collectible police car.
Part 1? Oh, I guess there is a cop car.
Do you don't own this? Oh, do you?
I don't. And now that you say that, there is a second cop in Part 1. Now that I think about it,
at the very end.
No, he picks Steve Christie up. And gives them a ride to the camp entrance. Not all the way into the camp because, you know, it's raining. Why would you do that? Just, he had to go. I think he got an emergency call.
Got to go. Emergency call. I'm going to drop you off at the entrance. Yeah. I'm not going to drive the 50 feet.
But you don't see too much of him just in the car, if I remember right. So I can't comment on his uniform. But cop car seems legitimate for $79.80.
Did this toy, if you're listening, there's a toy I stumbled upon. It's a collectible police car from Friday the 13th, but it includes Mrs. Voorhees' action figure. This is the most random. I don't even know if this is real.
It looks legitimate.
It's on the internet.
So it must be. Everything on the internet is real.
Would you purchase something like this? See, I would. I would probably spend up to $300 to get this.
In the day, I might have. So you're talking to somebody that there was no merchandise whatsoever when I was young, you know, from when these movies originally came out, the early movies. And so I couldn't imagine there would be cars and action figures and stuff like that. So I would have bought it up. I was buying press kits and posters because that's all you could get.
That's all you could get. Yeah. It wasn't like today where the things that they have, it's merchandising is, we wish we had that as kids. Yeah. It's incredible. Well, I'm gonna put a pin in this because this is something I need in my life.
Yeah. Plus, yeah, with that bonus of the action figure. Mm.
It's amazing. Yeah. Why would they even do that? Okay, so police uniforms and film. We'll jump into the segment here and there and keep you listeners educated because I know you're all very concerned about that. Okay, and then next we have what you've been watching. And I'm just going to yield this to you because I've just been watching baseball, which I'm sure you have been watching that too, Robert.
That's a movie?
That's a movie. Baseball? <I'm sorry. laughs> And I did finally watch Knock at the Cabin.
Oh, yeah. Tell me what your thoughts were on that.
My thoughts, and I thought about this after I watched it, they're exactly what you said. It's fine. It's fine. It's good. It's fine. They took some cues from Signs, which I liked, and Shyamalan, and classic Shyamalan, you know, except for a few of his films. He did the one location, very few, you know, characters, controlled setting. I feel like Knock at the Cabin is what The Happening wanted to be. There was like actually an explanation for the world coming to shit.
Yes.
And The Happening should never have happened. It should have been this movie kind of thing. But I liked it. I liked it. It was fine.
Yeah, my sister just watched it, and it's funny you said that because I imagine, I'm like, can you imagine pushing Mark Wahlberg into Knock at the Cabin? It was just like oof, which made you kind of wonder, like, well, maybe The Happening wasn't all direction fault. That is, there was a little bit of a, but a different lead of actor made a difference. Not too much, but you know.
Yeah, but it definitely it switched.
The
up.
Thing is. And I think it was based on a book or something like that, but some stuff was just a little too on the nose, you know, the four horsemen, and you know, so it was like, all right, you know,
yeah,
but it was kind of a extended Twilight Zone episode. But like you said, it was fine. Some good effects. I don't know if we're spoiling, but you know, things falling out of the sky, that's like my worst nightmare. So.
Oh, it was jarring. The airplane scene. It was very jarring. He did take Hitchcockian cues. That was kind of too on the nose. Some of them were good. Do you remember the shower scene?
Oh, yeah.
When Bautista's in the shower, or he goes in there. Yep. Do you remember the music? It was the string, like the...
Oh, I must not have,
It was like, it was an obvious Hitchcock thing. So you're like, all right, I give him, you know, he throwing a classic in there. But I did like Bautista, Dave Bautista. He was good, you know.
Yeah, he held his own, and so the most part, there's nothing I despised about it, but like you said, it's fine. Whatever is that, 3.5 stars? I think it's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah. No need to buy it.
Yeah. Know? No need to buy it. I'll probably watch it again at some point in my life, but that's maybe a spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, but a question for you, Robert. So he was the bartender, Bautista, and then the first guy that died was the guy that assaulted him in the bar.
Yeah.
Was the nurse in the operating room that night? Was that tied together? Because I missed that.
I think so. I can't remember. I saw it in the theater, so how many weeks ago that was, I'm not sure. And then I really didn't dwell on it too much after that, but it was kind of like also together. Part of me does wish it's like, especially in this day and age of like, how many other people were buying into this, you know, this kind of made up story, you know, or possibly made up, and you know, is there kind of a cult growing around it and so forth, rather than just these four, but
right, and it's exactly, it snuck up on me too. I thought, I thought it was a really interesting turn where they showed the first news clip, and then I was like, oh, what are they going to do next? And then I'm like, oh, they're going to do that the whole movie, like a news clip. I don't know. I kind of wish they left the cabin and did something different, because the ending was a little anticlimactic. I mean, it was cute, but he just goes to the diner and you're like, okay. I don't know. I kind of wanted a little bit more resolve.
Yeah. And that's right. I felt like you could almost, as they drive off, you know, hear Rod Serling doing a little epitaph, you know, like. But yeah,
he left the dimension of time, the Twilight Zone.
Are they finally leaving Pennsylvania? I don't know.
I don't know. The diner was kind of in the middle of nowhere, and I'm like, there's a lot of people just at that roadside diner. It was like packed. The cars were all lined up. I'm like,
Okay. I was like, it feels like the Twister Diner. That's what I was thinking of.
Yes. Speaking of Twister Diner, are we getting Twisters next year?
Apparently, with the daughter of, I assume, Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's going to kind of follow kind of the same trope. It'll be curious because obviously special effects has changed quite a bit, but once it becomes over CGI, you know, like, nobody, is anybody going to care? You know, it's like, for nothing is real.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. At that point.
Yeah.
But what about you? What have you been watching?
It seems like quite a bit. Not that I'm not doing anything, but there's a couple anniversaries. So Sorority Boys is one of my favorite movies. If you have not seen it, we probably talked about this before. So
this is kind of guilty, like, can't look away of yours one year.
Probably. Yeah. So yeah. Which it's not the best movie by any means, but it just makes me laugh and laugh and laugh. So,
and not a worse movie either.
No. So this is only on DVD. They don't even have this on Blu-ray yet, let alone.
It hasn't jumped to Blu-ray?
No. I'm like, why not? But it is one of my.
Come on, yeah. Sorority Boys, get with it.
I need it on 4K. That's what I need. So,
yeah.
Same anniversary day, Friday 13th, Part 5, A New Beginning. So I don't watch these movies too often, but I put it on in the background just to. Memory, you know, when I went to see it for my 15th birthday, you know.
It's an eclipse for me when you watch these because I know you've seen them all so much and covered them that when you do watch one, I'm like, the sun's out for the third day in a row without the owners of this place are nasty, by the way.
Well, apparently. So I've not been by, and we should have. I know our last trip, we were just literally a few miles from the barn that we should have at least gone and bothered them. I'm not sure why we didn't, but
may I share your page?
Sure.
During this, is that okay?
Absolutely. So.
I just know it's a favorite of mine certainly, but I know you've done such a great job on this one.
The gas station has been used in many, many, many things, and I remember not recently, but seeing in The Bionic Woman, and nothing much changes. It's always kind of the go-to gas station.
It's showtime.
Oh, what a slimy, dirty movie.
So dirty and slimy.
Yeah, it was closed. I've been there a couple times, but I remember the first time it was closed. So, and Franklin Canyon Reservoir.
Reservoir. This was also used in Freddy's Dead.
Freddy's Dead, Friday 13th, The Final Chapter, American Horror Story, 1984.
Oh, yeah.
Many, many, many movies. So.
This is off of.
It's kind of in between Beverly. It's in above Beverly Hills, more or less.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
So it's always a. It's a nice, quiet place to go to. Sometimes I do that on my final days. Just take a walk around the lake.
Nice. Gather your thoughts. Relax a little bit. Is this neon sign here? Was that a prop for the film, or was that
a
real?
That was a prop. Yeah. Spared no expense.
I know that area, I doubt, would have a trailer park in 1980, whatever, but that's a nice touch.
I think that's Turtle Pond.
Enchiladas.
Yeah. it is a nice place. I remember when American Horror Story 1984 was, I cannot believe how much they let them build, because usually they're pretty protective, you know, of the grounds and so forth, but and they took it all down. But I was just kind of shocked at how much they kind of let them do.
They did it.
Yeah, so I need to update this page. I've met most of the actors, not most, but a lot of the actors, but I just haven't updated the page. But and speaking of press kits, one of my not looking good for the wear and tear, but one of my
pretty incredible collectible here.
It's not. I wish I took better care of it over the years, but it came with nice photos and.
Is it in the same condition now as it is in these photos?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Photos. I mean, like it hasn't gotten worse or anything.
No. Now I take better care of stuff, but you can see
pretty cool.
Kids can see what it used to be like when they had to mail out press kits.
Is it everything? Is everything digital now?
I assume so.
Yeah, this is pretty cool though. Quick question: where is this? This is the final girl, Melanie Kinneman. Where is this?
I think this was Dark Delicacies for a signing or something like that. So,
in North Hollywood, Burbank.
Yeah. From there to a screening of Friday 13th, Part 1 through 4. So it's about 10 years ago this month. because cool. When I went to go visit the Jarvis cabin, so I don't need to see all the Friday the 13th on the big screen. And but I had just been to the Jarvis cabin. I was like, I have to spend like 8 hours so I can watch the Jarvis cabin on the big screen.
Oh, 8 hours. You have to do it though.
I did, but
yeah. Well, it paid off though.
Yeah, it was worth it. Yeah. There's worse things in life than that. So,
of course.
I went to the theater to see John Wick 4.
I was just talking to somebody about this today. They loved it, and I'm curious of what you think about this film.
I'll say that. That's my review.
Is it? How does it rank in the? I've seen the other ones. How does it hold up?
I feel like old man when I say I'm like they're about all the same to me. Lots of fighting, you know.
These squirrely kids.
Yeah, and I was prepared that this. I knew this was kind of an overlong one, and at some point, you know, it got to be so. I'll be honest, repetitive. That okay. I'm pretty sure John Wick is not going to die in the opening act. When you know he's going literally stormtrooper after stormtrooper, you know, is coming after him, and I'm like, all right, I get it. These are all really bad. This is the best I got. Sorry.
I got it. Okay.
He has no. He's just wearing a suit, his you know bullet protective suit, but otherwise everything is fine. He beat them all. So it was fine. So we have similar Scream 6 moments of. I'm pretty sure that's an 8 week hospital stay, but you seem to be fine. It's and going up 200 stairs, but good for you.
That is funny when they do that. It's like a gunshot wound, and 3 days later, it's like. No, you'd be in recovery.
No.
Physical therapy at least a month.
Yeah, there's just nothing to some of these people. So it's certainly not the second coming, you know, like where people were kind of doing the same thing with Top Gun Maverick, you know, like, oh, I'm like, yeah, it's good, well put together.
Yeah.
Watch, but not much more than that for me.
Right. Okay. That's good to know. Good to know.
A good half hour could have been sliced out of that.
Oh. Yeah, one of those.
Yes, because it's almost 3 hours, I think.
It's kind of a longer film.
Yeah.
Does John Wick's need to be 3 hours long? Close to 3 hours?
Well,
I don't think so.
No.
What do I know?
Exactly. What do you know? we don't really need a 3 hour James Bond. You know what I mean? Like, get to the point. And at some point, and whenever you do watch it, that kind of the first big spectacle scene. And I'm sure if somebody does, you know, a kill count or something like that, but I'm just like, come on.
Yeah. It's like, come on, guys.
Let's get it done.
Yeah. Let's put this one to bed.
Yellow Jacket season 2 just started, the first 2 episodes.
Oh.
So I don't, did you watch Yellow Jackets?
I started to, and then my subscription ran out and I never bought it. My trial.
Oh,
but I really enjoyed it, and I've been juggling on whether to get because it's on
Showtime.
Juggling whether to like nick something and get Showtime.
Yeah.
Because I'm seeing all these films I'm like searching for, like it's on Showtime.
It's so good. It has such a great cast, and now they're adding to the cast. So we knew Elijah Wood just barely showed up in the last episode, and. I've seen pictures of him and Christina Ricci, which they're almost like brother and sister. You know what I mean? Like they're probably the same height and the same kind of demeanor. So I can't wait to see them on screen together. Lauren Ambrose is going to be coming on. So so far so good. It's hard because you never, season 2, it's, you know, the sophomore effort sometimes is not, can't live up to the original good ideas of the season 1, but we'll see. So I enjoy
it. Yeah.
It's Vancouver, so I love it.
It's Vancouver.
I just rewatched every once in a while, Oh God, with George Burns. Have you seen?
Oh, yeah.
What was that, 77, I think?
Yeah, something like that. What a classic guy to watch on screen, too. Seriously.
I don't know. Every once in a while, I like put it on. I was like, oh, and I was like, you know, I was raised Catholic, but no longer anymore. And, but it's a nice, good-hearted film. And John Denver he does a good job.
Yeah, he wasn't bad at all.
Yeah.
He really wasn't.
Yeah. Can't go wrong with Terry Garr. I forget Donald Pleasance is in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just a small role. But yeah, I was like, oh yeah, so right before Halloween. So.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's so cool. You watched that again.
Yeah, it just everyone kind of struck me. So
yeah, you kind of put it on here and there.
And for my birthday, my sister got me, there was a new Blu-ray of Secret Admirer. So, which we've talked about before, C. Thomas Howell's in it and Dee Wallace. And it's one of my favorite movies from 1985.
Yeah. And yeah. We have talked about that.
I was at lunch a couple of weeks ago and one of the guys at lunch, I don't remember how it came, but he's like, I represent Tommy to do different music thing or something like that. And down in Nashville, I'm like, oh, and I was talking about Secret Admirer and what a fan I was of that. So I have it on because I want to see what, you know, the picture looks like. And there's a new audio commentary. And so I don't know if you saw it on my Facebook page, but.
I have it.
I'm listening to the audio commentary and the director is talking. He's like, one time we were in Omaha and we met the biggest fans of this movie. And they have the movie and every form of, you know, it came out on and they went to visit the house and really glad to meet them and stuff like that. So he's talking about me and my sister.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah. So I thought you mentioned that
before. I didn't see it on your page. That's amazing. Congratulations. That's a huge deal.
I called my sister down because as soon as he said we were in Omaha and I actually paused it and I thought, oh, let me go get my sister. Cause I'm like, oh, you have to listen to this. She's going to talk about when he was in Omaha, but it was just kind of funny. So I think, yeah, I put a clip on my
oh, that is so cool.
Facebook
page. Oh, I got to check that out. That's awesome. You are the best fan.
Well, yeah. And I think he called us. Yeah. He calls us husband and wife. I'm like, well, we were brother and sister, but I do think we are probably the biggest Secret Admirer fans for sure. So.
Oh yeah, that's with C. Thomas Howell and Lori Loughlin's in it.
Yeah, Kelly Preston.
Kim Cattrall.
Kim Cattrall's not in it, but Corey Haim has a small part in it. And,
oh.
Yeah, so it is. It's still, and my sister even commented like we still say lines almost weekly from that movie.
Oh, there's a testament there.
And he did say something like, I hope you're listening to this commentary. I'm like, we are.
Oh, that's so cool. See, just goes to show you.
Yeah, that's funny.
It's pretty amazing.
And then I had the pleasure to, Cal Penn was in town for an event. So I got to
meet
him briefly and he did.
What was that event again?
It's for inclusive communities. And so he was just kind of sharing a little bit about his work and then how he kind of got his job at the White House and had shared some stories. So it was kind of a short and sweet. So there was no official meet and greet, but you know me.
Yeah. If you're there in the flesh, Robert's going to get in there.
I was like, I need to meet him and get a picture. So.
Oh yeah. Oh, that is so cool though. You got a chance to talk to him.
Yeah. I was trying to think what, obviously he was, Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle is kind of what he's known for. But, and I think I texted you cause I was like, you know, they read the bio or whatever and they talk about and such and such for Clarice. And I'm like, oh, they're even mentioning that, you know, like,
right.
Where's season two?
Does anyone have a question that's not related to Clarice? All the hands go down. Okay.
I would have asked him if I had a little bit more time with him, but
yeah,
it was,
get some
was
insight good. On it.
Yeah.
I love him and Harold and Kumar Guantanamo Bay, where they're smoking weed with Bush, and it's like, you just blew my fucking mind. Getting high.
I barely remember. I remember the first one and the others kind of.
Yeah,
they all got a little out of hand, but yeah. So
yeah, he is funny though. That's fun though. Okay, so that's what you've been watching. Robert has some good ones there. I did not.
Way to go.
Way to go. I failed everybody. It's time for Revisiting the Razzies by Year. This year is brought to you by 1983.
Oof.
Now, oof is right. We have some good
doozies.
Ones. Some interesting and, yeah, some doozies. But let's kick off with the worst musical score. What do we got?
Let me see here.
Okay, these are, by the way. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so nominees, Butterfly, Death Wish 2, which is kind of a strange that it would get called out for worst musical scores. Like, it's not usually people are like, oh, that score was off, you know, like,
Yeah, it is kind of strange. It's like, it's not awful. I feel like musical scores with the Razzies and the Oscars are both probably the most subjective category. Because unless it's like awful, it's kind of tough to segment out like which is the worst one of the year.
Yeah. And I think that was its only nomination in the whole realm. Because Death Wish 2 is a nasty movie. I'm not sure you're bad, but
yeah,
it's just
It is.
Yeah. Monsignor.
Monsignor.
And The Thing, which is kind of strange because now it's kind of known as a pretty good score. But,
it's a very strange choice. Yeah. Somebody had a vendetta. Did John Carpenter write the score for that?
He did not. This is one that he did not, but it sounds very John Carpenter-ish.
Still. It does. It does. Yeah. And that's a really weird choice because I feel like he was gelling pretty well. 83 was kind of towards the apex of the John Carpenter theme-esque soundtrack in the 80s.
He just wasn't, I don't know. Well, The Thing is known that it, you know, nobody got it at the time. Which I kind of take with a grain because horror fans got it at the time. We knew it was good.
You knew what the score was.
We knew what it was. But the winner is the pirate movie. This is one of my five stars. Oh, yeah.
We got to watch it then. This is pumping and blowing.
Yeah. So if you're not familiar with the pirate movie, it's kind of a loosely Pirates of Penzance, but it's with Christy McNichol and Christopher Atkins. almost like a Grease type soundtrack. And one of my, it also won, I didn't put these particular, but this particular year at the Razzies, it also won the worst song, Pumpin' and Blowin'.
Pumpin' and Blowin'. I'm going to play a clip for us.
No subtlety here at all.
This is from the pirate movie, Pumpin' and Blowin'. Oh, this is the actual music video.
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like a mashup.
No, this is it.
Wow. Catchy tune.
Fantastic.
What was the reception of this at the time?
Oh, it was just dragged through the dirt. But the thing is, like, for kids, and when it was, showed up on cable, it was just kind of became like a favorite, you know. And and there is catchy songs, you know. And I've met Christy McNichol a couple times, and I always have her sign Pirate Movie.
Have you?
Yeah, which you see because
the first
time.
It.
Yeah. And I think actually the first time somebody gave me her autograph that said, you know, keep pumping and blowing, you know.
Yeah.
And then one of the times I met her because I've like, I always just kind of want to meet her because Christy McNichol, she's her own. She has an actor factor, you know, or about her. You never know quite what you're going to get. But one of the other songs is called, you know, Give Me a Happy Ending. So I said, I was going to have you write this, but I think this sounds just as bad as Keep Pumping and Blowing, but
par.
She's a good sport. So, her and Chris Atkins, they both have done the Hollywood Show and embrace, you know, the love of.
That's good. Yeah. You like when you hear that embrace the deal. Yeah.
If you have not seen the pirate movie, I would put that on your homework.
Really?
More for my own sake.
Okay. No, I'll do it. I'll do it. Okay. Pirate movie.
What's my top score that I give? You know, I definitely own it.
And if you own it on 4K is the top score.
If it's on 4K, I would own it. I don't think it is, but I think I have it on Blu-ray. So,
all right. I'm going to put it down. At least it's available on Blu-ray, unlike Sorority Boys.
Oof. Yeah. DVD. Just Put it on VHS at this point.
Please. Exactly. Exactly. So congratulations to the Pirate Movie for winning Worst Song for Pumping and Blowing.
Worst New Star, which was kind of a thing, I guess. So you can see through the years of categories that kind of add and take away some. So,
Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah, so nominees, and I'm not sure because it says Morgan Fairchild for The Seduction. I'm like, was she new in 83? Maybe she was. I feel like she was just has been a...
She would have to be in her early 20s.
I don't know. She never changes. Her look is, her look and hair is, never changes over the decades. But
No, you can't decipher.
Luciano Pavarotti, which is... I'm not familiar with the film, Yes, Giorgio.
That
but,
terrible hack of an actor.
I was just like, man, apparently you didn't make... Now, they have a kid in here, Aileen Quinn with Annie. And oh, Mr.
And
T.
No retraction.
Yeah, Mr. T for Rocky III.
Yeah.
Now, but he, you know, but he wasn't bad. He was playing himself. Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't think he was necessarily bad, but no. The winner.
You got what you expected.
Yeah. Yeah. So some of these I'm like, Annie, we'll talk about her a little in a minute. But anyway, winner was Pia Zadora for Butterfly.
Pia Zadora for Butterfly.
She actually, that same year, she also won the Golden Globes for Best New Star. So Rise and Fall for the same movie.
Same, very interesting. Very interesting. This was 83.
83. So not saying the Golden Globes can be bought, but they can be bought.
But they can be bought. Oh, if history has shown us anything.
Yeah, so Pia Zadora, actually, and I appreciate her now for, she was also in the Naked Gun 3, playing herself.
Yeah.
Losing her wig and so forth, so I enjoy her. But
she's a good sport. She's fun. She's fun on screen.
We'll talk about the movie a little bit later, though. So,
okay.
Worst Supporting Actress, so nominees, Rutanya Alda for Amityville 2. She played the mom.
I remember seeing that. Burt Young's in there, too?
Yep. Yeah. She's probably better known for playing Carol Ann in Mommy Dearest. Colleen Camp for The Seduction, which I'm sure I saw The Seduction. I think it was probably just one of those kind of smutty Showtime-esque movies, if I remember right.
Oh, okay. Deserving.
Diane Cannon for Death Trap.
Huh.
I love Diane Cannon. So, and she is a... She's a screamer in this one, so, and she's kind of playing Diane Cannon, you know, her, playing herself. So, did you ever
That's
see
why
that?
The nomination?
Yeah, Death Trap with Christopher Reeve and Michael Caine.
Oh,
it is kind of.
Guys.
Have you seen it?
Death Trap?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I do
a homework assignment.
I don't know. It would be a if you can find it, but it's obviously not. A top homework assignment, so it's one of those things I kind of like in theory more than reality, because I did buy it on Blu-ray because I'm like, oh, let me give this another visit, but it kind of
you goes. Like the idea of it more than the actual film.
Yeah, and I couldn't quite remember. I remembered something at the end, so probably not deserved for Diane. And then Lois Nettleton also for Butterfly, which I can't remember which character she played, but the winner for Worst Supporting Actress was Aileen Quinn for Annie.
Oh, no.
I know.
Come on.
I think she was great in Annie. I mean,
yeah, I loved her in that.
Especially,
I'm going to share the page real quick, too, for the listeners. Especially what?
Especially seeing some of the other Annies that we got.
Really? Come on. Yeah. I mean, stack them next to each other. Let's see who's taking home the Razzie that year.
From Yardley, Pennsylvania.
It's not a fair. I don't think there's a fair nomination there or award.
Yeah.
What was the reasoning?
Don't know. I don't have early on if they kind of gave too much reasoning, but yeah.
It's
so from locations mostly shot on. I think they then named it Hennessy Street. Where they created most of these streets, some of these streets for Annie. Not all of them, but some of the concept. Oh, yeah, I had to put the little... If people didn't know, the
ellipse
is also used in the Purple Rain cover.
Right. Perfect.
It still looks the same to this day. So.
Does it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, to me, it looks the same. So I can't.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah.
Not
yeah. No. No. That's yeah. good to hear.
But yeah, and then Miss Aileen Quinn.
There she is. Where is this at?
Hollywood show.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I was excited to meet her. I was just a couple years ago, I think.
Oh, that's so cool. And, oh, this guy's great.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Godspeed. Aileen Quinn won for Annie in 1983. Yeah,
We're supporting actor Michael Beck for Megaforce, which I've not seen Megaforce, but Megaforce. I think Michael Beck was also probably nominated for Xanadu. Ben Gazzara for, is it Inchon? I don't know how you pronounce that.
Ben Gazzara for Inchon.
Gotcha. Ted Hamilton for the pirate movie and Orson Welles for Butterfly. However, the winner is Mr. Ed McMahon, also for Butterfly.
So the Butterfly was stacking up here with best supporting or best, yeah, worst supporting actors.
It's
same movie, same category.
Yeah, so we'll hold all of our Butterfly comments maybe till the end. So
yeah, right. We'll do a whole segment on Butterfly.
Yeah, it is kind of its own thing. But worst actress, Morgan Fairchild for The Seduction, Mia Farrow for A Midsummer Night's Sex Comedy, which she probably Mia. Also wants to forget. Christy McNichol for The Pirate Movie, Mary Tyler Moore for 6 Weeks, and the winner is Pia Zadora for Butterfly.
Pia Zadora is cleaning house this year.
She's so excited. So sad for her. Yeah. Well.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe she. I don't know. Who's to say?
She was doing her best.
well put. She was doing her best.
She was doing her best. Worst actor nominees. Willie Ames was nominated both for Paradise and Zapped! Exclamation point.
Is Willie Ames the guy from Charles in Charge?
Is he in? Well, I think so.
He's in one of those early, late 80s sitcoms. It doesn't matter. I met him.
He does horror conventions sometimes, because I'm not sure why he does horror conventions, but.
Yeah, he was Charles. He played Buddy in Charles in Charge.
Okay, gotcha. He was always kind of the number two. Same thing in Zapped. You know, he's always kind of the friend. So he seemed really nice. And for some reason, I just had to meet him. He has aged well. So also aging well is Christopher Atkins. So,
oh yes, 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 yes.
And he was nominated for the pirate movie, Luciano Pavarotti, which we mentioned before. I missed a D. Arnold Schwarzenegger for Conan the Barbarian.
Conan was his first movie, right?
His first big blockbuster. Yeah, because I think he had been in the documentary before, but this was his first kind of entrance into that. So,
Arnold.
It wasn't that good a movie, but anyway, winner was Laurence Olivier.
Inch for Inchon.
I think I don't know what I should probably figure out how to pronounce that, but I'm not even familiar with that movie. I know it's a war movie of some sort, but
yeah, it looks like I'm just reading this. I've never seen it, but it's about Douglas MacArthur in the Korean War, which I could see Laurence Olivier playing that kind of character, kind of the epic thing. I don't know why it was so bad, but it only brought in $5 million off a $46 million budget. So that's kind of sad, because he died in the 80s, and he's one of the best actors on screen, you know, ever. So it's kind of sad that he was doing this. Him and Orson Welles, two screen legends. Two Titans brought down.
Yeah. 1983 was just a killer.
Killer.
Worst director, Matt Simber for Butterfly.
Butterfly, getting no
John
love.
John Huston for Annie. Come on. It was.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't agree with that one.
Yeah. Hal Needham for Megaforce. Like, how can you have both, you know, Annie and, I don't know.
Yeah, Annie next to Megaforce. Like, come on, guys.
There was a tie for the winner, so Terrence Young for Inchon and Ken Anakin for the pirate movie.
Bad year for ships out at sea. And Sean looks like it's very heavily involved with ships.
I like to say the pirate movie is very well put together.
It's very well put together.
I might have to revisit it now that we've been talking about it.
Well, you should, and then we can recap.
It's snappy. It's snappy movies.
Probably one of those movies that's streaming for free on YouTube with no question of copyright. Yeah, like King Kong Lives. Just take it. Just take it.
Worst picture. I'm going to start with the winner because the winner was Inch On, and I really have nothing to say about it because I've not seen it. But the other nominees were Annie, of course, Megaforce, the pirate movie, which we talked about, and Butterfly.
Butterfly. So Inch On took home the gold that year.
It did.
For Best Picture.
Butterfly did very well. They're probably all sitting in the audience hoping to win every award, but they didn't. So it is a... Have you ever seen Butterfly?
No,
probably not.
So.
It is something to try to sit through. So Pia Zadora, it's like possible incest and... Pia Zadora, she shows up, and actually... I'm pretty sure Showgirls took some cues from it because it starts off more or less with her getting dropped off and a guy putting his hand on her leg, just almost exactly like Showgirls, which I kind of never realized before.
Really?
And then Pia Zadora is like, sometimes like, well, I'm 17. And like, oh, honey, you look 32. Like,
I'm 17.
Yeah. And there's gold in the mine and the dad is supposed to be, he's there to watch the mine. So there's no people stealing the gold and so forth. They do find the gold and they're going to get rich but then also kind of have an affair. And it is a mess of a movie. And
I'm looking at the cover of it. The cover just looks terrible. It's like, she has a see-through kind of thing. It's just bizarre.
That's all she wears throughout the whole movie.
Really? That like,
yeah.
Halter top thing.
Yeah. Everything is just kind of done in this kind of desert haze.
That's so weird.
It is a strange movie.
Stacy Keach is a good actor. I mean, not that that means anything, but they're not terrible people in this movie.
Orson Welles plays the judge, and because it goes to court, you know.
Ennio Morricone did the music.
Yeah. Everybody's just embarrassed, I think. But
wow, yeah, that guy never worked again. Matt Kimber was the director for that. It looks that was the end of his career.
And this isn't even Pia's slimiest movie. I'll tell you that.
What, this was not his slimiest movie?
No, Pia Zadora. That she. She's had a worse. The Lonely Lady.
Whew. Oh, it's pretty like pretty grimy.
Yeah. I can't really? Even want to. I didn't want to say it out loud.
Oh, is it like borderline porn?
It is something where it's like, I remember even as kids were like, "Ooh, I don't think we should be watching this."
Oh yeah, even as a kid, you're like, "Nope,
no.
Outweighs this."
Yeah. But yeah, Razzies, 1983.
But that was a good list, though. I mean, we make it fun. And
there's some gems in there.
There are some gems in there.
Yeah. I wanted to share. How can What's you put that? the butterfly next to Annie in the pirate movie? I don't even know.
That's the question of the hour, really. That doesn't even belong in the list. And the thing being nominated for best worst score sits badly with me.
Yeah.
The music's so cool. Dun, 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 dun. Like it's perfect. It's perfect pacing for the movie. It's great.
They probably didn't get it at the time, you know, like, we need John Williams type score for everything.
We need epic ensembles with a 46-piece orchestra. Yeah. No synthesizers.
Yeah, one guy on a synthesizer. Come on.
Come on, get out of here. I wanted to share with you, Robert, some fan... there's a fan message here. I'd say fan mail, but people aren't writing to us. I can promise you that. directed towards you from our... No. We did the Xanadu trailer reaction on our first Razzie episode, I believe. And we talked about Xanadu, and you've mentioned your love for Xanadu a lot. And Sol Kizer is his name. We were talking about it, and he says, hey, Robert, the trailer uses demo versions of all the Xanadu songs, which are quite rare to hear. There was also a promo reel that was shown featuring a rough cut of the film that ran just over 20 minutes and has a lot of these demo versions at greater length. Just like you, I'm a super fan of this film. It would be the holy grail to be able to acquire all these demos. I'm glad the trailer put a smile on your face. R.I.P. Gorgeous Olivia. Do you have this trailer demo?
You know, I think I'm looking up as you're talking.
I have no idea what I'm asking you, but that's...
Yeah, so I do have a Xanadu extended soundtrack, which is... I'm pulling it up. It's because I'm not sure what it is. It's
oh, over... extended, like, there's... You know, how movies have like 80 songs in there, but they only release 12.
Correct. I have this one has 50 songs.
Oh, that's so cool, though.
So I do. It says like the fall, the demo, but there's also some of them have the alternate versions and versions without the vocals and so forth. So I do have some of those demos. I've not listened to them in a long while, but I do have a lot of them. So, and I know on there's some behind the scenes of one of the songs, Suspended in Time, was supposed to be, they shot it completely differently. So online, you could see them shooting the scene in the Xanadu club, but that's not what shows up in the movie at all. They decided to do something completely different. So there's some alternate little things that you can find out there, but I do, in fact, have a lot of those demo songs.
Oh, I like that you know that, and you do have that. Because you're a true fan.
Xanadudes is what they called us, yeah.
Xanadu.
Yeah, no, that's what they call the people that went back to Xanadu the musical multiple times. They call them Xanadudes.
Xanadudes. So you being a Xanadude and a true fan, how many Xanadu t-shirts do you own?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Just one, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, Xanadu on Broadway had kind of a nice rainbow
thing. I didn't know if it was like a Madonna thing where you had like 10 shirts or something like that.
No, the same thing. They didn't make that one. They didn't make merchandise at the time, or not very good ones that would last. But I did wear that proudly, and I actually have Xanadu cap. I remember I wore it to Sundance, and is it Elijah Dushku from True Lies and Buffy? So
yeah.
So I remember she commented. She goes, "I'm a big fan of Xanadu." And
oh, that's so cool.
You never know.
It's a good conversation starter.
So I wear it proudly.
Do you wear shirts like that for your driver's license?
Ooh,
like, are you conscious about that stuff?
No, because you only see this much. So,
okay, because I'm getting my driver's license done soon. It's been like 6 years because I just keep renewing it, and California just lets you do it online, kind of thing. So I'm like, it's my picture's from like 10 years ago. I look different. Yeah. So I'm gonna get one soon, and I'm like, I wonder if I could like crowbar in, like, listen to the podcast, also
a little pulled something
over, starts conversation, or I love cops or something.
You
like
sound
that.
Like a typical Los Angelin.
Right. Hey, how can I shadily crowbar
it? Can I put a hashtag on my driver's license? Wait, so,
can I promote myself shamelessly?
Just that, you know, hashtag the podcast all while I'm, you know.
Hashtag the. So, but thank you, Soul Kizer, for doing that, chiming in with that. Ask us your questions. Tweet us at @the_podcastle. Follow us on YouTube at Clark the Shark, or visit us everywhere podcasts live, and we'll ask your questions to Robert on the air.
See if you can stump me. I don't know.
See if you can stump the maestro. Next up, Robert, trailer reaction video for Friday the 13th, Part 5.
No.
Nobody's asked for this, but we're doing it.
Has anybody?
Do you remember the trailer for Friday the 13th?
I vividly remember the TV commercial because...
You vividly remember it.
Oh, yeah, because I was on, I could not wait. Because I was, it came out the day before my 15th birthday. And so it was less than a year after Friday the 13th, the final chapter. And like I said, I was dumb enough to think that was the last one. I couldn't believe they were making another one. Who knows what was going to happen?
And yeah, right.
Well, let me see what the trailer is, and I'll see if this is it has the version... Or has pieces of what I thought.
Okay. All right. I wasn't sure if this was something that was in your mind. So let's watch Friday the 13th, Part 5, the trailer.
Yeah. Jason still haunts you. You're not alone. Friday the 13th, part 5, A New Beginning.
Severe trauma at age 12. Brutal self-defense, murder of a psychopathic killer. Boy, they've given him every therapy they can think of. It's a wonder his mind isn't fried with all the drugs they've given him.
The mindless, the murderous fury that was buried with Jason has been reborn.
Pete!
And suddenly, terror has become child's play. Friday the 13th, part 5, A New Beginning.
I like it.
Yeah, they make it look really good. I mean, it's a...
They do make it look good. I want to watch it now.
Yeah, you're like, hey, that is a good movie.
You know what? I was wrong forever doubting it. Robert, was the chainsaw in there a nod to Chainsaw Massacre? Like, we're going to beat you. Jason can beat the chainsaw. Leatherface?
I think it was more actually a nod to Slumber Party Massacre. So if you remember the movie, it kind of turns off at one point, and I was just like, you know, like in the theater, just like, oof.
That's what it is.
You know, and Slumber Party Massacre, more or less, it's a laugh out loud moment because it's connected to the electrical outlet and boom, you know. It's not long enough.
That's totally what it is. Good point.
Yeah.
That's one of the better trailers, though, I remember in my mind for Friday the 13th.
So obviously the TV commercial was like a 30-second version of that. So there wasn't, you didn't see Corey Feldman in the trailer for sure, because that was kind of a shock to me in the theater, which I will tell you about. So there's pieces of that, but it definitely ended the same way where, you know, the barn, whatever, and it says Friday the 13th, part 5, A New Beginning, and it crawls. This is why I remember it, because it is a great good shot of the camera beginning to go over the edge of the barn, and then the Jason leaps out. So I remember I was like at the edge of the huge 25-inch TV watching this, and I remember jumping back because when Jason
popped
out. Yeah, so
I do have the trailer, the TV trailer too. I was gonna play, but if you don't want to go down that road.
That's the TV trailer is probably the one I remember the most, but you don't have to replay it for the listeners here. But
remember it vividly.
Yeah, because I would have to. So
it'll scare you again today is what you're trying to say.
Yeah. So kids have to remember, I used to have to stay up because what would happen is like, 8 days before they would start running commercials and I'd have to stay up all night watching, was it Friday night? Up all night and stuff like that, where they do videos, whatever. And I have to watch because they would show all these horror movies trailers in between, and I have to like.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
And I still have some of these VHS tapes.
Remembering those days reminds me of MTV, where there was that like one song that, if it wasn't like super popular, they would play it, but you wouldn't know when, so you'd kind of have to watch like a summer day, like all day. Ready to record, and then there's that one like countdown, like top 50 songs of the year, and you're like, it's going to be on here. And you'd have there was no YouTube, no TiVo, nothing. Yep. You were at the mercy of the programming, and it kind of reminds me of that, where you're like, we're in for the long haul.
Yep. So I think I still have some of those tapes. I could dig them out because I had to record. I remember, especially parts 5, 6, and 7, because they had a couple of variations, and I'd be watching them and kind of analyzing them. But
hey, you dig through them. But the trailer Friday 13th Part 5 is overall not bad, right?
No, it seems like a good film, and so this is embarrassing, but Some of the movies that we really liked, we would bring a tape recorder into the theater and record the movie audio.
You pirate.
So we could listen to the movie again. So.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. Oh, you mean an actual just cassette?
Oh, yeah. We'd flip the tape over or whatever. So.
Oh, wow.
Because that's all we had. You know, we had to
wait
a year for it to maybe show up on VHS or video disc at the time. But
no, I completely understand where you're going. And that wait was no joke, too. It's not like today where it's a month later. It was like a year.
Yeah.
Titanic didn't come out for a long time after it stopped playing in the theater. That's just an example, but you were waiting a while.
Yeah. And I needed to know. My dad wasn't going to take me back to go see it again, but it was a one and done. But yeah, I remember you could hear it. You remember it on the you could hear it. You're like, oh, it's Tommy, you know.
That is so cool. Do you still have them?
I don't have the audio tape, but I think I still have some of the VHS of my kind of greatest hits of recording. I remember, and you would appreciate this, that Carol Kane was doing one of those video shows, and it was when Aliens was out, and they were talking about Sigourney Weaver, and she's kind of like Rambo, and you know, like the new action star.
Yeah,
Carol Kane. I remember Carol Kane called her Rambolina, which now kind of sounds very sexist, but
it does sound sexist. Yeah, but at the time, I mean,
yeah, it worked. Yeah,
Sigourney Weaver next to Princess Leia is really the first female superhero / badass heroine in a film. I mean, they weren't doing movies like Alien with a strong female lead before 1979. I mean, she blazed some trails, Sigourney Weaver. I love her. And if people disagree, you could just kiss all that goodbye.
Have you watched The Jazz Singer yet? I can't remember.
With Neil Diamond?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. It's on my list, though.
Okay.
I need to watch it next?
Well, it only came up in my thoughts again because my friend he used to live in L.A. He used to be my wingman.
He used to be my friend.
But he would be my wingman. But in L.A., he would bump into every famous person, as you kind of do, you know.
Sure.
And then he moved to San Francisco. But he was in Palm Springs for a couple days. And, of course, he bumps into everybody. But he also bumped into Lucy Arnaz, who was in female lead in The Jazz Singer. And I'm like, of course you would just bump into her.
Yeah, I just bumped into her.
Yeah,
and
I would totally ask her about The Jazz Singer. I didn't really know what else she did, but
Jazz Singer put her on the map. Actually, my homework, I can take Capricorn 1 off.
Done.
Jazz Singer, pirate movie, and I'm going to bump up Galaxy Quest.
Hurry before it hits its 50th anniversary.
You know what? You've always hurry. You've always delivered with the homework. I remember A Quest for Peace paid for itself over and over again with the material that I never saw that until you told me
until
to put on the list, and it's paid off. And I will watch it now again.
I'm excited for Quest for Peace. For fans that don't know, all the first four Supermans are coming out on 4K.
Yes. So,
including part of it is Superman 4 in May. So I'm very excited about that.
I wonder if they're going to put any of the deleted footage in there, because there was like an hour's worth of material. I mean, it's probably unwatchable.
Yeah, probably. I think they found all they could during the last kind of set. But I can't imagine how worse it's going to look in 4K.
That makes you think. Like, the idea is to make it more grainy and hide some stuff.
I think during the Blu-ray, you got to see more. We talked about this where in the moon, you could kind of see the black velvet curtains.
You
in the back, it's like, and I think at one point there was kind of a seam, you know, where like they didn't close all the way.
No, the visual. You're talking about the moon scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can actually see like another part of the studio.
Yeah.
Like, in there, at that point you might as well just have a stagehand or an extra or a DP or something, like put their head in and pretend to hide and then like peer to see if it's still filming. It was just so bad, but it's great.
And in a few weeks on Blu-ray for the first time, the big bus.
Yes. Oh. Sally Kellerman.
Yes,
God bless her. Rest her soul.
Cannot wait to see Stucker Channing.
So it's
going to be good.
When does that come out?
April 26th.
Okay, cool. Do you have a reserved copy?
I do. Yeah, it was pre-ordered a long time ago, so I'm excited for that one. So I'm sure it will look glorious.
It will look dazzling.
Maybe there'll be audio commentary like, some fan went to all the locations.
We're going to bring in the assistant director. Yeah, some fan. His name's Set Jetter. Mr. Jetter went to these locations. Let's find them. See, that's what they need to start doing, though. And I think they will, as more they search for more things to include on re-releases, is your name pops up, you know, on SEO and Google. And, you know, you've been included in ones before. You'll probably see more and more of that because you kind of did all that first.
Yeah. Nobody wants to pay for them to do that. So even though that is kind of, I know locations are kind of loved by fans and Horror Solid Grounds and stuff like that, but part of it's like they just weren't willing to shell out any money to do it. But
that, and it could be some legal things, like if it's a house, they're like maybe
the Blob. I had a great video for the Blob that got rejected because they wanted
money.
No, they wanted every location that I went to, they wanted a release by the business, and I'm like, it's all taken from the public street, you know.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's impossible too.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a pain.
Strange thing. So I have a very, very good video for the Blob 1988 that will.
You
never
were sick
be
on that trip, right?
Oh yeah, I actually did have strep on that trip.
I remember you talking about that.
I was shooting in a fever, and it was Louisiana, and it was nasty, and.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. I'd love to see that video. I hope someday.
I don't know. I think I might have a version somewhere that I can show you, but
okay.
Don't tell anybody.
I'll keep it in the vault.
Nobody will know.
They'll never find out. And finally, speaking of Superman, Robert, Blind Man's Bluff today.
Oh, jeez.
Is. Well, I told you the title, so you know what it is.
Oh, wait, you did?
I just said, speaking of Superman.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be kind of, well, I'll tell you what, let's see if you don't get it. Happy 40th anniversary to blank, released in this United States on June 19th, 1981. As an 11-year-old at the time.
Go ahead.
As an 11-year-old at the time, there was simply no better movie. Yes, I know technically this is a 1980 movie, but I'm calling it 81 for the wide release, as you should. Was there no better movie at the time? Because I imagine this was like massive in 1980.
It was massive, and it is because it was a strange release. They were intentional. The reason it had almost like a 6 or 8 month release schedule is because they were so intentional that each country had different high times. You know, like for America, it's, you know, the summer.
Yeah.
For France, it's the winter or whatever. So that's how they released it, because they were hedging their bets. They wanted to get the biggest bang for their buck by country. And so that's why
it had
this
sense.
Long release, which is really kind of smart. Nowadays, it probably would not work. But it is weird to think that it took, you know, 6 months for it to hit the United States.
Yeah, yeah, that is interesting.
To other countries. But at the time, there was high excitement. You know, Superman 1 had did very well. And then same thing when you see the trailer for Superman 2. It was like, there's three of them. And how is he going to win?
Yeah, but what's going to happen? I mean, yeah, I was born in 81, so obviously I wasn't alive for this, but
that's why you picked this. You were just like, oh, I'm sorry, that was my actual birthday.
Oh, no, no, not at all. I can imagine the excitement. It's like, it's huge, you know?
I did have Superman 2 shirts.
Did you really?
Oh yeah, it was so people remember sometimes in stores they'd have all the iron-ons on the wall, and you'd pick, you know, like, I want that on a baseball tee, and
yeah.
They'd get out the thing and make it for you.
So. Oh, it's so cool. Do you have any current Superman clothes that you wear?
I do not know if I do. I feel like I should have a Quest for Peace something, but
I feel like I need to get one.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is Superman 2. This is a great page. Have we done this before, Robert?
We might have. I don't know.
We're doing it again because it's just so good.
Yeah, we might have talked about when we were doing the 80s and so forth. So this was Niagara Falls. So
it's where Jim and Pam got married.
Oh, yes. / the Valley.
By the way, I've been rewatching The Office because I do it like once every 2 years. And I always love when they get on the roof of Dunder Mifflin, you can always see like the mountains in the back. And it's like they weren't even trying. Like Pennsylvania in the winter, you know, had these like bright pump. It was just funny. But anyway.
Yeah, I don't think, well, actually, they did send Jim and Pam to Niagara Falls to do some shots, of course.
Yeah.
The actual church is San Fernando Valley, of course.
Would you have been in?
I have been in that little church, but yeah.
It's good times. Okay, so Superman 2, this is the...
The honeymoon, what they call it?
Honeymoon Haven Hotel.
Yes, so so at the time, it looked pretty much the same. This is just a couple years after. I remember, obviously I was not a true location enthusiast, but I knew enough to take screen matching shots.
You knew this would pay off. As a
13-year-old, or I think I was probably 13 when I went there. So
cool.
And yeah, it is kind of strange because I remember lining it up somehow, like from memory.
Which is pretty amazing. Like you have the foresight.
Yeah, I was like, oh, because I remember the hot dog stand was here and so forth. So, but yeah, I think I did a pretty good job for...
Oh, no, you did a great job. It's Super Duper Hot Dogs next to this thing. This is the same thing I'm looking at, right? Like the shrubbery here is
this
blank thing up here.
I think so, yeah. So
such a great describer. I'm like, this blank thing.
Is this blank
things? Is that real? Great job. Great radio.
But yeah, so I do remember taking shots that I thought kind of looked like or were kind of around the same type thing. So to the best I could for... Plus, kids have to remember you had a camera, you know, with a... You can only take 24 shots, and hopefully it turns out. You'll find out in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we're going to find out when this happens. Yeah. Obligatory ride on the Maid of the Mist, in Bruce Almighty.
Which now, it's like, I know it still happens. Like, it seems awful dangerous, but I'm sure...
It does seem awful dangerous. And the kid that's always like... On Superman 2, when he's hanging down, I'm like, what parent would let that happen? Like,
look at me. It was the 80s. Come on.
Right. It's fine.
Because the mom's like eating like cotton candy. That's nice, honey.
Look at me. Right. Oh, it's so funny. Okay. This is the area. This area is the Whitewater Walk, where you can see the rapids up close and personal.
So you have to remember, we were just kind of doing tourist stuff. So as soon as we got there, I'm like, oh, I think this is Superman 2 territory.
Superman 2.
So same thing. I remember taking shots that I thought was intentional. This movie is probably pretty ingrained in my mind because I saw it a couple times in the theater. So
you did, didn't you?
Yeah. And this is the walkway that he ran down.
Now, were you took the shot where Clark is standing?
So this is kind of an opposite.
Just trying
shot.
To get my bearings.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah. This is kind of. I took a reverse shot unintentionally. So
have you been back there since?
I have not. My one and only time to Niagara Falls.
Okay. Is it one of those places that if you see it once, you're good? Or, never been.
It seemed fine. I can't imagine this place. Maybe it still exists. I don't know. But
yeah.
But yeah, I remember finding the rocks.
This is so cool.
Yeah. That he saves Lois. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So yeah, I was enough to know that I was like, oh, I remember the rocks that you fished her out of and so forth. It was kind of down the way. So. And there I am.
If you're wondering what a skinny and lanky Robert looked like at 16.
16.
There you go.
There I am.
So cool.
Probably a whopping 120 pounds.
Your outfit still holds up, though.
I was an Izod shirt, probably. And
yeah, like you could, I think this is something like I wore yesterday with the sneakers and the shirt.
It never goes away.
It doesn't go away. It's perfect, no. Robert. You're a trendsetter.
But yeah, so.
Oh, Jack Halloran.
Yep. I would like to meet Ursa. Sarah Douglas would be nice. But
oh, yeah.
Oh, Ilya Salkin. I forgot I met him. He was at the Hollywood show.
Oh, cool. Great page, though, by the way.
Yeah. It was a fun, you know.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was
nice
a fun time.
Yeah. So, and I think, I remember when we would take road trips. Drive all the way back east, and so we'd do some stops along the way. So
get some stops. I've always wanted to go there. My parents went there with my brother once, and I just didn't go. I was in high school, and I was like, nah, I don't want to go there. And I kind of regret not doing it.
Well, yeah. Niagara Falls itself was kind of just trashy, though, and kind of a...
Really?
You know, like, they'd have all these museums. I mean, you saw the nice stuff. Otherwise, yeah. It's, you know, you turn around, and it's like, Ripley's Museum of Weirdo Stuff, and, you know...
Oh, that kind of thing?
Very tourist trap, so...
Yeah.
And I think, was that the Canadian side? I can't remember. Maybe that's the U.S. side, but...
Canadian side's nicer, right?
Yeah, that's why I can't remember which side it was taken on, but...
I don't know.
But yeah, so it's worth... I almost, when I was in Canada, in Toronto, I was pretty close because the school from A Christmas Story is actually just a few miles from, I think, Niagara Falls, but it was almost dark, and I was like,
Nah.
Time to go.
I only know Niagara Falls from you on this page and The Office. That's the extent. So I'm like, oh, it's fun, I'm sure.
That's all people need to know. Niagara Falls, Superman 2, The Office, enough said, done.
Enough said. I think I'm going to watch Superman 2 again after I watch Jazz Singer, because it's been a minute, and I think it's time. I think
I am holding off until the new Blu-ray comes out.
Yeah.
Even though they are going to be showing at the Alamo Drafthouse Superman 1, 2, and 3, but not 4, which I'm just like, I would love to see.
Wait, they're doing 1 through 3, but they're just not doing 4?
They're doing 1 and 2 together, and then 3 on its own, but not Superman 4.
Oh, this is so cool.
I'm like,
I mean,
what?
That sucks. But
yeah. But I was like, that is the one I would like to.
Yeah. That's the one I want to see.
Yeah. So same thing. I just got really excited because we went to go see, I can't remember whatever last movie. They're also going to have an Al Pacino kind of thing. And so they were showing previews for, you know, Cruising and this and that. And then they also included in there.
Yeah.
Jack and Jill.
Oh, that was on the other night too.
But it is not playing in Omaha.
Come on. How do they not play it there?
I can't even tell you how much, because I would force people to go to Jack and Jill with me that refuse to watch it.
I'd watch it with you.
He wants to do Twister with your sister.
I started watching it the other night. I've never seen it. It was the Lakers scene where he's in disguise. How did they get Al Pacino to do that movie? It's amazing.
Have you not seen it through the end?
I didn't see the whole thing, no.
Oof.
I gotta watch it.
You will be shocked at what they get Al Pacino to do.
Oh,
I will tell you that.
It's on. Really? It's that outrageous?
If I ever resurrect Monday Night Movie Nights, Jack and Jill will be
resurrected
right up there. So,
well, perfect.
That's why I was like so excited. I'm like, oh, I can't wait. And I got home and I'm looking. I'm like, not showing in Omaha. I'm like, wait.
Just give Omaha some love, please.
Pull the rug out from under me. Why don't you? So,
yeah. Right. Why don't you just spit on them? That's terrible.
But I literally did feel spat on. So, and I love that they were including it because it was like Dog Day Afternoon, Carlito's Way, Cruising, Raging Bull, and Jack and Jill. I was so like, bad. Yes, they get me.
Are they going to, the schedule's made up kind of thing? Like it's set in stone?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I don't know. I suppose I could write somebody, but I'm like, yeah, you'd be the only person asking.
I'll just crowbar in before we go. The Superman, the screenings are April 14th through April 26th at various locations across the country, and it looks like we'll be in Pasadena and a few other ones, so maybe I'll go check it out.
Yeah.
And will you be seeing Super Mario Brothers the movie this week, Robert?
I will not. I'm washing my hair. I'm sorry.
Okay, very well. Well, I'll keep you posted on if it's good or not. I know you're anxiously waiting.
Yes, please tell me. Can't
please
wait.
Tell me. Well, that'll be your show tonight, Robert, unless you had anything else, sir.
I'm good.
Thank you all for tuning in and listening to the Podcastles Set Jetter Saturdays, and we will see you next time on the set.